My dear friends, today is the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany. The epistle is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 3. Brethren, put ye on as the elect of God, holy and beloved, the bowels of mercy, benignity, humility, modesty, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. And if any have a complaint against another, even as the Lord hath forgiven you, so you also. But above all these things have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ rejoice in your hearts, wherein also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual canticles, singing in grace in your hearts to God. All whatsoever you do in word or in work, all things do ye in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 13. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to the multitudes. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that sowed good seed in his field. But while men were asleep, his enemy came and oversowed cockle among the wheat, and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and had brought forth fruit, then appeared also the cockle. And the servants of the good man of the house, coming, said to him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in the field? Whence then hath it cockle? And he said to them, An enemy hath done this. And the servants said to him, Will thou that we go and gather it up? And he said, No, lest perhaps gathering up the cockle, you root up also the wheat together with it. Suffer both to grow until the harvest. In the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather up first the cockle and bind it into bundles to burn. But the wheat gather ye into my barn. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Lest perhaps gathering up the cockle, you root up the wheat also together with it, suffer both to grow until the harvest. These words are taken from the Gospel of today's Mass in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Although today is the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany, my dear friends, tomorrow is the Feast of Our Lady's Apparition at Lourdes. And in these apparitions, we know that Our Lady visited St. Bernadette, and so I would like to speak to you today about St. Bernadette. I've spoken of St. Bernadette several times in the past, and we know about her experiences, but today I'd like to consider just the aspect of what she gained for mankind. After the fact that the apparitions had begun to spread around the town, St. Bernadette found herself being questioned by the three chief authorities in her life. She was questioned by her parents, she was questioned by the parish priest, and she was interrogated by the local civil authorities. I say that she was interrogated by the civil authorities because her questioning before them took on the character of a true criminal investigation. These men repeatedly questioned her. They would change her answers and read back the false statements to her. A few of the authorities would take one side of the argument, while the others angrily opposed her on the other, a practice which is most commonly referred to as good cop, bad cop. And of course, they threatened her with great punishment if she was proven to be lying. Now, the parish priest did not attempt such worldly means, but it would still have been an ordeal to be questioned by him, a very serious matter indeed for one held in such high esteem. The parish priest was very respected by the people of the town. All looked to him for counsel and advice. His word was law for his good parishioners, and quite often in towns like the one where St. Bernadette lived, the parish priest was most likely the only truly educated man in town. And so here she was appearing before such a man of God. And remember that not only would all children have been most respectful, appearing before the parish priest, but Saint Bernadette had even more reason to fear than others, for she was already at the age of 14 and had not yet sufficiently been educated nor found strong enough to receive the schooling she needed for a first Holy Communion test. Finally, answering to her parents would not have been an easy task either. Being a worthy confidant of Our Lady, we know that Saint Bernadette must have been a good child. She must have had a great devotion, love, and respect for her parents. And so to be questioned by them, to be disbelieved by them, to even have them suspect her of bad motives would have been a terrible cross for this good girl to carry. But my dear friends, despite all these natural reasons for fearing these three authorities, Saint Bernadette answered each and every one of them honestly and truthfully every time she was questioned. She never changed her story even in the slightest degree, although in doing so she may have saved herself a great deal of heartache, suffering, and embarrassment. Rather than being brought before these authorities, she could have very early on said that it was all a mistake and everyone would have left her alone. But she did not do this. She knew what the truth was, and nothing in the world was going to move her or make her not tell that truth. And this is a lesson that all of us can learn and put into practice in our own daily lives. We must very often, my dear friends, do what is right, even if it's not what is pleasing. We have been given, when we were created, two faculties by God to help us to make decisions. We have an intellect and we have a will. Our intellect is the information gathering center for us. It gathers information from our senses, from our imagination, and from our memory. It then presents all these facts to the will, and it's up to the will to make a decision. The will decide based on this information. We see this in the case of Saint Bernadette. Her intellect presented to her some very solid facts. First, that God would want her to tell the truth. Second, that the beautiful lady who she had seen in the vision would also want her to tell the truth. But the intellect would have also shown Saint Bernadette that there would be much to suffer if she did tell the truth. Thus, before her will made its decision, she had to decide between what God wanted of her and what would have been most comfortable. Thankfully for us, this holy child chose to do the will of God. If she had not been such a good and honest girl, if it were not for her being so confirmed in the good, imagine what the world would have lost. We would not have all the great miracles and cures of Our Lady of Lourdes or the Lourdes miraculous stream. We would not have handed down to us Our Lady's own confirmation that she is the Immaculate Conception. So we can say for ourselves, thanks be to God that Saint Bernadette did what was right and not what was easy. How often in our own lives, though, do we face the same type of decisions? Our intellect shows us the pros and cons of a course of action, and then our will has to decide on what path to choose. Now, Dom Scopoli, the great spiritual writer, writes about this very crucial process in his book called The Spiritual Combat. The Spiritual Combat was an absolute masterpiece. It was a favorite book of St. Francis de Sales, and he actually read at least a section from it every day for 18 years. And in this masterpiece on the spiritual life, Dom Scopoli warns the reader very early on about how important it is to make proper decisions. He writes in the very opening part of the book, "When an object presents itself, let the intellect weigh its merits, before the will is permitted to embrace it, either as agreeable or to reject it as disagreeable. What he means by this is that we must never rush into decisions of what to do or what we want while we avoid first considering all the facts. This is so important because Dom Scopoli goes to great lengths to show us that in his book, that once the will has latched onto a decision, it makes the intellect almost powerless. He says that the will redoubles its love or hatred and pushes beyond all limits and is utterly deaf to the voice of reason. Now, this is not hyperbole or hysteria. This is the true word of a most trusted theologian. He tells us that if we decide a course of action without first making sure we consider the truth of the matter, we will soon find ourselves unable to change our mind and only growing stronger in our resolve to do or avoid whatever the will has decided. We see this happen very practically, my dear friends, when a good person loses the faith. When a person loses their faith, despite what they may claim, it is almost never a case that they find something false in the Apostles' Creed or in the deposit of faith. This is impossible, for they can't find anything wrong with the faith because of the simple fact that the faith is the truth revealed by God, who can neither deceive nor be deceived. What happens more often than not, then, is that some person, place, or thing enters their life, and it stands between them and God. And if the person is not careful, then, to weigh all the facts of the matter, to let the intellect do its job and to run its course, if they are not careful to pray for strength to do what is right, they may choose the object that their will decides. And ultimately, this can cost them their Catholic faith. It's not that people leave the faith because they no longer believe the truths that God has revealed. More often than not, they break from the practice of the Catholic faith because there is some liberty or license that the faith denies them. They decide then against the faith and in favor of the object of their will. Now, this is, of course, the most extreme case of letting the will rule the intellect. But throughout our lives, we must be on guard that we never let this happen for ourselves. Make sure that when a decision presents itself to you, you consider all the facts. Decide what is the truth of the situation before making your own decision on what to do. As Dom Scopoli says, if we make a decision without considering all the facts, we will live in a state of distorted confusion, wherein the intellect plunges deeper and deeper into error and represents to our will vivid colors of good and evil. Now, luckily for us, my dear friends, when it comes to making proper decisions, we are not alone. Dom Scopoli tells us that whenever we have to make an important decision, we must seek for help. First and foremost, we pray to the Holy Ghost. We ask him for light and direction in choosing what is truly right in the eyes of God. He then advises us to talk over the matter frankly and honestly with one that the Holy Ghost has appointed as our spiritual director or our confessor. And finally, he concludes with the advice in these words: do nothing rashly, since a single unobserved factor of time or place may ruin everything. A great many faults, he says, may be committed simply in the way a thing is done, as is true with many who have fashioned their own destruction. Let us then, my dear friends, be like Saint Bernadette and consider all the facts in serious decisions. Let us decide according to what is truly right and never simply take the course that we want or that the will wants the most. It's interesting to note, my dear friends, that among all the graces that God gave to Saint Bernadette, one that endures now even down to our day, is that her holy body is almost completely incorrupt. In fact, the scientists have proven that even her internal organs are supple and as firm as if she were still living, which is quite a miracle on top of a miracle, for she died from complications stemming from tuberculosis, and you would think that her body was already failing even before death came. And yet, to this day, she still looks as strong and vivacious to the eyes and to the scientists as if she were merely asleep. And I can't help but be impressed by this information, that if God has willed to form this miracle so that her body would not see corruption, we must take this seriously, and we must make sure that just as her body is still incorrupt, so her good example is incorrupt in our lives. As God has been pleased to preserve her body, we, as good Catholics, as good sons and daughters of the Immaculate Conception, we must preserve her example and the virtues that she taught us throughout our lives. We must learn from her, especially today, to put truth before our desires, and we must never let the memory of the virtues that she practiced and the example that she gave us fade from our mind. If we follow her example, the example of such a favored saint, we can be sure, my dear friends, that when our time comes and the Lord comes to gather us up and bring us to his eternal rest, we will be brought into the barn like the good wheat was in today's gospel, and we will avoid being bundled up and burned as the cockle was. And thanks to the example of Saint Bernadette, we will enjoy a peaceful heaven for all eternity. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.